It's been a while, so I may have to get you back to practice as to our preaching style. Does anyone remember me from before? I didn't think of that. On the steps of the cathedral, my mother came up to me. It was the mother of eight. She looked me in the eye with all due deference to the fact that I was just a babe and said, "Hey, kid, for God's sake, do one thing for me." I go, "Wow, what's that?" She says, "For God's sake, keep it short." But I'm a treasure. So I teach in the Socratic method, I teach in the rabbinic method that Jesus preached. And so if you want to fulfill my mother's dreams and your deepest desires, keep it short to the point. I find it interesting that the second reading today resonates with where we are in society and where we are in the church. Are we going to amen? Amen. Well, that was easy. See, you can talk about the church. This is great. You always talk about the church. There's a way in which we're invited into a unique vision in what Paul said. We have to grasp that. And we can have differences in the church. As a matter of fact, it's really good news, isn't it? And in the very beginning of the church, they were as divided as you may feel right now. Can I get it in? Amen. So in that sense, there's something very ancient and holy, I would contend. It's conflict. Because if we go to the upper room, when Mary greeted each of these wonderful people we just called, they had to be held accountable in love, didn't they? Because she was a good Jewish mother. And when Peter came, and Andrew, all of these sons of Zebedee, had a great name, misled them at the time. In that confusion after Good Friday, they were divided and confused. So perhaps what we're experiencing now is an upper room. Perhaps we need to enter the conflict and confusion and not run from it and listen to it. First point. Second point and question. What's it like? You know, this week I've been reading some articles and I'm just breaking through all of my Jesuitness and all of my sort of intellectual categories. And it's sort of like a hot experience. It's like when you read something and it's like, oh my God, I've been thinking so wrong for so long. And of course, the article that I read is a chapter actually by Paul Gagan, the researching on this stuff, sex and church. And it's called Sex and World Peace, the Role of Women. And in every single paragraph, I can't even detail. The writer said, if we look at the AIDS epidemic, what would happen if we approach it in a gender that's different than all of us? We find out that really it was about sexual violence towards women causing spread. What if we looked at housing from a different perspective? Oh, then we find and realize this is about home for women and children. This isn't about, you know, the old American myth that if you just pull yourself up from your own bootstraps, that then you can be somebody. There are no bootstraps. That's the problem. And in other research in the Catholic Church, what if mothers were at the table when these men made these decisions to return these beasts, these perpetrators, into ministry? What if there was a woman who was called to be the first apostle? Think about that. Tonight, question and your categories are above that. You won't read, right? What's it like in heaven? Right now, remember the length of the homily. Depending on how quickly you answer this question. The experience, not right or wrong, and it's not good for the center. This is not just a Margaret Barrett. They tell you you're going to get an A or B. What's it like when you read something and everything you thought before is being confession? It's frightening. What else is it? So it's frightening. It's exciting at the same time. It's an exciting fear. Isn't it? Well, then what do I hold on to? What else is it? It's absolutely mind-boggling. It shifts our whole way of thinking and believing. And Jesus starts out his preaching by doing the same. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And in a voice and scream of trouble, we hear the sheer joy. And in you listening to one another tonight, when you go home and you hear the other's voice, the kingdom of God is there. When you and I allow ourselves to think beyond our own world, we become the kingdom. So read an article. Maybe listen to your wife a little differently. And life may be more patient if your husband is weak. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Figure that out, isn't it? But imagine a world in which what Paul prays for is not only possible, but it is our mission. To heal the broken heart. To enter the confusion of these days and to see the light that has shone in our darkness. As Isaiah proclaimed 10,000 years ago, let light guide us more than anything else. This week, see the world from someone else's perspective. Or perhaps even for a moment, see if God sees you, if God sees our chaos.